Starting at the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara here is going to dissect the Braita that we brought yesterday at the end of the Daf. It's going to go line by line and figure out what exactly is meant by the Braita. So about six lines down in Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, Amar Mar, Yochel Afilu Chilul Shabbat. So the Braita suggested that when it says about Kevein Ki Teichel Li Znot, we thought that Ki Teichel, the word Chilul, could mean any type of form of Chilul. So why not Chilul Shabbos? So also a Bat Kohen who violates the Shabbos, she will be punished with Sreifa. So when it says, what type of havamina, what type of logic is that? Chilul Shabbat bat skila hi. Person who is mechalel Shabbos gets skila. So why would you even have a havamina to downgrade a bat kohen? Skila is the highest form of punishment you could get. And now you want to downgrade her to sreifa? Just because she's a bat kohen doesn't make any sense. So when it says, amarava hamani Rabbi Shimon hi damar sreifa chamura, you have to suggest that the author of the Braita is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that skila is not the highest form of punishment, but rather sreifa. You upgrade the bat kohen to sreifa. Everybody else will get skila for chilul Shabbat, but the bat kohen will get sreifa instead, or a higher form of punishment. So why? Why should she get a higher form of punishment? Sakadat chamino. Hova achmir behu rachmana bekane. When it comes to the kohanim, the Torah has more machmir by them because the rabbi who be mitzvot yitayrot. They have additional mitzvot, additional restrictions that apply to them that make them more kadosh. So too, over here, when it comes to the punishment for chilul Shabbat, they will have an additional, or they'll have a higher form of punishment, that of sreifa rather than skila. So the Gemara said, tidon b'sreifa. So kamash balon, that's not the case. So kamash balon, that she does not get sreifa by chilul Shabbat, but rather it's techel liznot. That only by issues of znot do we say that she gets a punishment of sreifa, but not issues of other chilul. So Gemara says, wait a minute, umayshna minei didei. So wait a minute, why does it only a bat kohen that gets a sreifa here by chilul Shabbat? If you think that the reason that she should get sreifa by chilul Shabbat and upgrade the punishment is because she's a higher form of kedusha, that should apply equally to a bat kohen as to a kohen himtzmo. So why is it unique, this punishment, to a bat kohen? So Gemara says, zalkadat chamino ihu dishdariyolei Shabbat legabe avoda. Right, wait, when it comes to a kohen is allowed to violate Shabbos to do the avoda in the mikdash. Meaning that Shabbos is overridden by certain aspects of the avoda, and therefore a kohen already has a dispensation in certain circumstances or certain unique situations to be mechal Shabbos. So therefore, for a kohen, we're not going to give him an upgraded punishment because he's allowed to violate Shabbos in certain places. But he, when it comes to her, came to lishtayr Shabbat gaba. Since Shabbos is never nitchet for this woman, no more than any other Israelite or Israel by coming to Shabbos, and since she has an additional kedusha, emot idon b'sreifa. Therefore, she will have the unique punishment of sreifa. We will upgrade her punishment to sreifa. Kamash malon. That we do not say that, and we say ki techel liznot, that this chilul over here is talking about znot and not about chilul Shabbat. So again, the havamin is that kohanim should be punished in a stronger or more serious form because they are a higher level of kedusha, they have more restrictions in the Torah. The Gemara says, okay, if that's true, why are you differentiating between males and females? Gemara says, well, even though males have a higher form of kedusha, nevertheless we see that the Torah gives them dispensations to be mechal Shabbat v'avodah. So therefore, we're not going to be machmer by them by Shabbos, but maybe bat kohen, who has that higher form of kedusha and does not have dispensation, she should get the higher form of punishment. Kamash balan, that it's not the case, that the teichel or the chilul that we're discussing here is a chilul of znot and not a chilul of Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues to dissect that braita. Yochel afilu pnuya. So you would have thought maybe that even a pnuya, a bat kohen who has a relations with another individual when she is a single woman, that she should be punished with sreifa. So Mar says, "Had liznot k'tiv." How could you even suggest that it's doing the pnuya? The word liznot is used in the pasuk, and the word liznot, the definition of znut has to be with someone who is married. I mean, it's a moredet, someone who is rebellious and someone who is rejecting the relationship that they are in. But that's not true of a single woman. She has no relationship. She's not rejecting anything. So Mar says it has to be k'drav lazer. The amar ponui about pnuya. No, that there's a deya that a pnuya, a single woman who has relations with another individual, not only is it restricted in a Torah, but it also makes her into a zona. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar will have to be, or this braita is following the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, that a panui, who's ba pnuya, makes her into a zona. So therefore, if she's made into a zonah, then we do have an issue of znus here. And therefore, maybe you would have havamina to say that pnuya is chayevet in sreifa if she has relations with a man, or a single man, and a single woman have relations, maybe they should be, she should be chayevet sreifa. Kamash malan, the Gemara continues, says, no, the word avia. So let's see what avia. So the word avia, we learned avia, to teach you that it has to be talking about a situation of marriage, or a situation where she's tied to a husband. So then the Gemara says, wait, how do you know that's true? The Braita continued and said, oh, eino omer avia lalotziat kol adam. That no, avia comes to exclude everyone else. Meaning that she will only be chayevet for relations with her father. She'll get sreifa if it's relations with her father. Anybody else, she'll get chenik like anybody else, or skila, depending on whether she's an arusa or an isua. Selamainihu. So what's the case here? The case is shizinta me'avia, that she had znus with her father. That's the suggestion of the Braita over here at this point in time, that we should use the word avia to teach just the avia gets the punishment. My iria bat kohen? Why is this a unique punishment to a bat kohen? Afilu bat Yisrael nami? Even a regular Israelite, a regular woman gets punished like this. Any person who sleeps with their father, that punishment is a punishment of sreifa. So you're not adding anything here. You're not making anything unique here. I mean, if you suggest that the whole reason of bat kohen to tell his note goes out to sreifa is on a case where she sleeps with her father, that's anybody who sleeps with their father gets sreifa. Amar li Rav Yitzchak bar Yevdumi, atya heina, atya zima. We have a gzera shava of heina and zima, and that teaches us that a person who sleeps with their father gets the punishment of sreifa. What is that limud? That limud, as Rashi points out for us over here, chtiv, it says by bat bino ubat bito, when it talks about a grandchild, or vat bat bincha ubat bitcha, you're not allowed to have a relationship with the grandchildren, whether it's the granddaughter through your son or granddaughter through your daughter. Because ki ervatcha heina, because they're arayot to you. And it also says by a woman. By a woman, if you marry a woman, you're not allowed to have a relationship with the stepdaughter. You'll have a relationship with the daughter of your wife. So over there, the Gemara says, okay, we have by your wife, you're not allowed to have a relationship with the stepdaughter, and you're not allowed to have a relationship with the step-grandchildren, granddaughters. Neither of those are you permitted to marry. By the father himself, it only precludes his granddaughters, but does not preclude his daughter. So that's what the Gemara learns. The Gemara says, well, we have a gzera shava. By batishto, it says, sheira heina zimahi. Says the word heina, and has the word zima there. So ma bishto, just by his wife, it makes the stepdaughter just like the step-granddaughters. I mean, step-granddaughters and stepdaughters are restricted. So too, by the father's granddaughters, which are mentioned, so too he'll be restricted against his daughter. So that we learn from the Gezer Shava of Heina Heina. And therefore, we're going to say the same by each of them. Then, you must say here, by the way, that you must say that their Gezer Shava is available to do this because it's not a Kal V'chomer. We can't say just like by his step-granddaughters he's restricted and therefore restricted by his daughter, stepdaughter. By him, where he's restricted in his granddaughter, certainly he should be restricted in his daughter. That we don't say because Einon Shin Min Adin. You can't be onesh through a logical argument. You can't give punishments for logical arguments. So it must be the Gzera Shava. And once you have the Gzera Shava, it's as if it's explicitly written that a person is not only restricted in their stepped granddaughters and their stepdaughter, but also restricted in their granddaughters and their daughter. So that's what we learn out from the Gzera Shava of Heina Heina. Then in addition to that, we have an additional Gzera Shava of Zima Zima. Just like by the stepdaughter, it says Sheira Heina Zimahi. So there, where it says the word Zima, also here, when it comes to the punishment, it says Lidon Besreifa Kitiv Hacha Zimahi Uchti Besreifa Zima. And by Sreifa, it also says it's a Zima. So what do? We learn from that Zima Zima teaches you that the punishment in these instances is a punishment of Sreifa. So through these two Gzerot Shavot, we learn that a daughter who sleeps with her father, or the father who sleeps with the daughter, is punished, number one, because we have the Gzera Shava of Heina Heina. And what the punishment is, we learn from Zima Zima, the Gzera Shava of Zima Zima, which teaches me that it's punished by Sreifa. So that's the question here of the Gemara. The Gemara is asking, why do I have a Havamir that a Bat Kohen who sleeps with their father should get Sreifa? Everybody who sleeps with their father gets Sreifa. So what's the Chiddush of the Braita? Why would you need me to specifically say it by a Bat Kohen? Where it says, Itzrich, I do need it. Sakadat chamina krala fuke midorovo. Right? So maybe the pasuk's coming to teach you not like Rava. Midigali rachmana b'bat kohen velo b'bat Yisrael. Maybe that's exactly what the Torah is suggesting over here. Who gets punished b'sreifa? That's only avia. When a bat kohen sleeps with her father, she gets sreifa to the exclusion of any other person. Meaning that any other daughter that sleeps with her father will not be punished by sreifa. Ah, you have the gzer shava of Rava, which is heina heina zima zima. So that's exactly what the pasuk is telling you. Don't learn that gzer shava. Don't learn like Rava. So that was the Havamina and the Braita. Don't learn like Rava. Kamash malon. That no, the avia here cannot be referring to just sleeping with their father. But avia here is used to teach us that she has some sort of relationship with the individual, because we already know about other individuals from the fact that the pasuk says in it, or he michalelet, that havei kol adam amur. We know about everybody else. So avia must be coming for something else besides speaking about her father. So if it's speaking as a matter of father, we learn, just like avia, we learn from the gzeirah shava of avia, to teach you that it has to be some sort of relationship where she's tied to a husband. So Yisrach. So therefore, the Gemara says now on the next piece of the Braita, Bat Kohen, Ela Elishin, Nisait the Kohen. The next part of the Braita says that it's a Bat Kohen. I only know about a Bat Kohen who's married to a Kohen. Nisait the Levi Yisrael, Ovid Kochavim, Lechalal, Unintinu, Lamamzer. How do I know if she's married to a Levi Yisrael, which are good marriages, to a non-Jew, or a Chalal, a Kohen Chalal, or a Natinu, Mamzer, all of which are restricted marriages to her, or will make her into a Zona? Minayin, how do I know that she still gets punished as a Bat Kohen? How do I know that she doesn't lose her status when she acts in this manner? She loses her status as a bat kohen. Tamalomar bat ish kohen. That it's bat ish kohen. Afo pi she ain't a kohenet. Even though she's not a kohenet. I mean, even though she's not married to a kohen and she's not ready a kohen now, kohenet now, nevertheless, she's still punished like a bat kohen. Meaning that someone who was born from a kohen. So the Gemara now asks, wait a minute, I need a specific limud to teach me that this woman is still classified as a bat kohen when she marries these individuals. I need the word bat ish kohen, ish, to teach me that any person she marries, she's still classified as a bat kohen. Shum dim sivlo lahani la bat kohen. As soon as she marries one of these individuals, she's no longer a bat kohen. Just because a woman marries Israel, a bat kohen marries Israel, a bat kohen marries a Levi, she's no longer a bat kohen. Vitu. Mide kohenet, the kohen k'tiv. Number two is, why would you ever have a havamin over here to say that the pasuk's talking about a case where it's a kohen married to a kohenet? Where in the pasuk does it ever suggest that we're talking uniquely about a case of kohen and kohenet? We're talking about bad kohen who marries anybody. Where in the pasuk does it limit it to her marrying a kohen and kohenet? So when it says, I don't understand this havamin of the breita. So when it says, okay, let me explain it. Sakadat chamina ki techel liznot arach rachmano. The pasuk says that she has begun her znut, ki techel. Instead of chilulin that we've learned now, techel means chilul, the profane. Rather over here, techel means to start, ki techel liznot, when she begins to be mizaneh. So, hani milahechad kamat chala hashto. That's only where the znut starts from this moment. Aval ha, kevin de mitchala, v'kaima mi'ikara. But over here, the problem of znut, or the issue of zonah, already exists prior to this point in time. Why? Damamar. Ubat kohen ki tiyad ish zar. A bat kohen who marries a foreign individual. A foreign individual meaning not a kohen. Kevan sheniv ala lifsol a pasla. So if she has bia, or has relations with someone who is inappropriate for her, pasla, she loses her status as a kohen or kohenet. That removes her from the status of kohenet or kedushat ha-kuhuna. So that's true for all those that are restricted over here, all those that have a lav associated with them. So that would be true of an ovi kochavim, achlal, amamzer, natin. All these who are, she's not permitted to marry. If she goes ahead and has relations with these individuals, then she's, as soon as she has bia with them, then she's pasla. That's the limud that we have, because bat kohen kitielish zar. Levi Yisrael Nami. What about a Levi Yisrael? What is a permitted marriage? Why does that make her into a zonah? It says, v'shaval beit avia kinu hura. That she will return to her father's house like she was when she was a na'ara. That's only true if she's married and she does not have children. But if she does have zera, mechlal d'chi ite gabei, right, lo achlo. That makes it sound like when she's married to the Levi in Israel, she is not permitted to consume truma. I mean that she's been mufka from being a bat kohen. So therefore, ema lo tidon b'sreifa. So that's the havamina of the brice over here, that she should not get sreifa in this instance, because the bat kohen loses her status as a bat kohen when it comes to two issues. One is if she has an iser lav, she marries or has bia with someone who is restricted to her, that makes her into a zona. And number two is, if she's married to a proper marriage, Levi Yisrael, as long as she's married to them, she's precluded from participating in truma. She's precluded from participating in truma. That indicates to us that she's no longer classified as a bat kohen. So that's the havamani of the Mishnah, that she does not, she's not called a bat kohen anymore. One, because we require kichelis note. This has the beginning of a problem for her znut, but she was already a zonah. Once she had relations with her husband, who is a restricted husband, she already became a zonah then. So the znut is not the beginning right now. And for the Levi in Yisrael, now that she is married to them, she loses her status as a bat kohen. She no longer eats truma. So if that's the case, maybe she should not be classified as a bat kohen for sreifa. So kamash malon, that's not the case. Kamash malon, that she does still qualified or still classified as a bat kohen. Udulok Rabbi Meir. This, what we were learning in this braita, is not like the position of Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, we have different opinions about what the status of a bat kohen is after she marries. Bat kohen shenisait l'Yisrael. A bat kohen who marries a Israel, va'achla truma, and then she goes ahead and eats truma, mishalemet et akeren, ve'ina mishalemet et achomesh. Since she is a bat kohen, she's not entitled right now to eat truma because she's married to Israel. So when she takes the truma, she's stolen. So she has to return the keren because she is stealing from the kohanim. On the other hand, the chomesh, the additional fifth that is paid, which is really a quarter, it's a chomesh milabar, which is really a quarter, additional 25% above that, that's paid for someone who's a zar, someone who's an outsider who consumes truma, must repay the kohanim, or must give to the kohanim an additional 25% for being a zar that consumes the truma b'shogeg. So that's the case, right? Over here, what the braita is suggesting is that even though she's not entitled to eat the truma'ah, nevertheless, she's not considered a zar when it comes to the truma'ah. And therefore, she's still a bat kohen in a name. Umitata, therefore, will be b'sreifa. She will be punished with sreifa because she's classified as a bat blim. On the other hand, if she marries someone who is restricted to her, mishalemet keren v'chomesh, then she does become a zar. Not only does she lose her ability to eat truma'ah, she now loses her status as a bat kohen because she's no longer classified as a bat kohen, but rather as a zar, an outsider. And therefore, she eats truma b'shogeg, she will pay the keren because she stole, and the chomesh because she's a zar, or a zara. Mitata b'chenek. And her punishment will be through chenek, which is the normal punishment for a regular person who has an extramarital affair, because she's no longer classified as a bat kohen. That's the Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. And in both these instances, whether she's married to someone permissible to her, whether she's married to someone who is impermissible to her, at least if it's a isur lav, both these cases, if the kedushin is tofsin, she is a outsider and from the standpoint that she may not eat chuma. On the other hand, she is not a zara to not be classified as a bat kohen. She still has a status as a bat kohen, and therefore she will pay the keren for stealing, but not the chomesh for being an outsider or a zara for eating the chuma. And of course, because of that, mitatan b'sreifa. Both those instances, she will get sreifa, because she's still classified as a bat kohen. So our braita is following the position of the chachamim, which says both by psulim and ksherim, she's still classified as a bat kohen to get punished by sreifa. Rabbi Meir differentiates between a marriage that is kasher, where he says, yes, she remains a bat kohen, and a marriage to psulim, where he says she's no longer classified as a bat kohen. Our braita doesn't make such a distinction, and therefore the Gemara says, our braita is not like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara continues with the braita, and the words of Rabbi Eliezer that were at the end of the braita. Rabbi Eliezer merit aviyah b'sreifa, with her father it's sreifa, vet chamia, if it's her father-in-law it's skila. So Gemara wants to understand this statement of Rabbi Eliezer. Mayat aviyah vet chamia. What does it mean, her father and her father-in-law? Ilem et aviyah, me aviyah, if she has relations or she has this extramarital affair from her father, vet chamia means me chamia, that she has the extramarital affair with her father-in-law, mayuria bat kohen. What does this have to do with the bat kohen? Afilu bat Yisrael nami. Even with the bat Yisrael, you have the same restriction. Bito b'sreifa. Then when it comes to a daughter who sleeps with her father, the punishment is sreifa. But kalato, when it comes to a daughter-in-law and a father-in-law, the punishment is skila. So it can't be that the Rabbi Lezer is coming to describe about this bat kohen, that there's something unique about her, that the father gets sreifa and with the father-in-law it's skila. That's true of every woman. So what is the meaning of avia and chamia here? Ella, what are you going to say? Et avia, birshut avia. Avia means when she's still in the possession or in the confines of her father, which means that she's still in arusa, meaning that she's only partially married but still with her father. Vet chamia means birshut chamia, means when she's fully left her father's house and now she's fully married. So not that chamia and avia are literal terms, but rather they are describing her status. Her status is either an arusa or a nisua. So now, what do you want to suggest that Avia and Chamia mean Rishut Avia and Rishut Chamia? So then, how are you going to explain the Braisa, or who, according to whom is this Braisa? Because you're suggesting that when it comes to an Arusa, that when she's still in her father's house, then she gets Srefa. On the other hand, when she's fully married, she gets either Chenek or Skila. Let's see how the Gemara proceeds over here. But according to whom is this Din? Ella, if you say it, Bevia Bishut Avia, Chamia Bishut Chamia, come on, who's this like? Ikar Rabbanon. If it's like the Rabbanon that we've explained before, Hamrei Nisu'a Yotzeit L'Srefa, Velo Arusa, they say that the only Bat Kohen who gets punishment as Reifa is in Isua, not the Arusa. So that's the exact opposite of what we would have in this case. Iki Rabbi Shimon, if you want to take Rabbi Shimon, Omer Achat Arusa V'Achat Nisua B'Sreifa. Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't matter whether you're an Arusa or an Isua, both of them get Sreifa. V'Iki Rabbi Shmuel, opinion that we have yet to see, but we're going to see later on in the Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, Amar, Arusa Yotzeit L'Sreifa. He says that Arusa gets Sreifa V'Lo Nisua. But, so there, okay, maybe this makes sense. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel should be the author of this Braita, because he says an Arusa gets Sreifa, but not a Nisua. But when it comes to Nisua, et chamia cheniku. Wait a minute, when it comes to Nisua, she's not going to get Skila. She's going to get a punishment of chenek, and not Skila. So why are you suggesting over here that when it's chamia, which doesn't literally mean chamia, but rather means Rishut chamia, when she's a Nisua, she gets Skila. That's just not true. So it can't be. We don't have any opinion that supports this. We don't have an opinion of the Rabbanon, which is the exact opposite. Rabbi Shimon says both of them, Nisua and Arusa, get Sreifa. Rabbi Shimon, who sounds the most like this Braita, we can't suggest he's the author, because he says Arusa is Sreifa, but he says that Nisua gets Chenek. And here we're saying that Nisua gets Skila. So Shalach Rabin Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So Rabin Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi says, Kach Yatzasho Mishnah. This is the way to explain this Braita. Let me help you out. The Olam Ki Rabbanon. This Mishnah is like the Rabbanon. V'hochi Kamar. And this is what it means. Kol Shehu the Mato Mimitat Avia. Anything that is a below the punishment for Avia. I mean, anything that gets a punishment that's less stringent than Avia. Avia gets Sreifa. So any punishment that's lower than Avia. Mainiyu. So what's the case? Who gets a punishment that's lower than Avia? That's a Nisu'a Bat Yisrael. Because her punishment is a Chenek. So Chenek is below the status of Sreifa. So therefore, hocha b'mitat avia, then she'll get the punishment of her father, which is sreifa. Koshi the mala b'mitat avia, anything that is above the punishment of her father, father's punishment again for sleeping with the daughter is sreifa. The only thing that could be above that is skila. My nihu. So what relationship gets skila? That's an arusa bat Yisrael. The arusa bat Yisrael. The arusa bat Yisrael ba'alma b'skila. Since she gets skila, hocha b'mitat chamia. Therefore, she'll get the punishment of her father-in-law, which is biskila. She'll get skila. So the way Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina explaining the braisa now is like this: that the aviha and the chamia here are just indications of what the punishment is. They are indications of the punishment, but the test is really avia. The test is who has a more stringent punishment than her father and less stringent. If the punishment is less stringent than avia, and that's the case of nisu'a, then the bat kohen will be elevated to the punishment of avia, which is sreifa. On the other hand, if the punishment is more stringent than avia, which is the case of an arusa, which she gets skila, then she will remain with the punishment of chamia, which is skila. So that basically helps us under, that's like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan believe a bat kohen who is a nisu'a gets sreifa. Bat kohen who is arusa gets skila, because we don't downgrade her to sreifa. Now, the problem with this is, where does it say in this Braita, above and below? I mean, where do you ever say such a thing? Or, as Rashi points out, the Gemara asked this question, but could have asked the other question, which is, what does Chamia have to do with here? Why is her father-in-law involved at all? So, Elamah Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests another solution. Olam ki Rabbi Shmuel. This Braita is like Rabbi Shmuel, v'hochi kamar, and this is what it suggests. Birshut avia bisreifa. When she's in Arusa, bat kohen gets reifa. Et chamia, mechamia biskila. When it comes to her et chamia, don't really read it as birshut chamia, but rather mechamia. If she sleeps with her father-in-law, she gets skila, v'chol adam, but anybody else will be chenek. So this will be like Rabbi Yishmael, that only an arusa gets sreifa, and arusa, kohen, bat kohen arusa gets sreifa. That's birshut avia. Then when it comes to chamia, chamia is not a case of birshut, but rather literally, it's chamia. She sleeps with her father-in-law, she gets skila. And the last case will be anybody else gets chenek, and that'll be like the position of Rabbi Shmuel. So what's difficult, of course, with Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation, which is Rabbi's going to ask, Amar Rabba, Mashna o, idividi mamash, o, idividi rishut. How do you explain one word in the Braita mean that it means Aviyah means Rishut Aviyah, and then Chamiyah is literal? Either both of them are literal and it's Aviyah and Chamiyah, or both of them are not literal and it's Rishut Aviyah and Rishut Chamiyah. You can't mix and match in the middle of the Braita. What makes you do that? So El Amar Rava, Rava's explanation. La Olam ki Rabbi Shimon. Our Braita is like the position of Rabbi Shimon who says that a bat queen gets Sreifa both by Nisua and by Narusa. Because Savar, Rabbi Eliezer, Nisua ki Arusa. But Rabbi Eliezer has a take on Rabbi Shimon's position like this. That is, Ma Arusa, by Arusa Chad Darka Maskinenla, that we bring her up one level, Miskrila the Sreifa. And Arusa Bat Yisrael, and Arusa Bat Yisrael gets Skila, which according to Rabbi Shimon is the second highest form of punishment, and the Bat Queen is elevated to Sreifa. She gets upgraded to Sreifa. She's upgraded one level. So the Bat Yisrael gets Skila, the Bat Queen gets upgraded a level to Sreifa. So too, Af Nisua. Chadarga, we're going to bump it up one level. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the third level of punishment, the first is, the highest form of punishment is Sreifa, the next is Skila, and then the next is Chenek. So now, if the Stam Mitah for an extramarital affair is Chenek, then if you're going to bump it up a level, you're going to bump it from Chenek up to Skila. So that's how Rabbi Elazar is going to explain this. Af Nisua, Chadarga Meskin La Michenek Leskila. We bump it up one level. So the idea or the punishment of Bat Kohen is just bump it up a level. So by Arusa, where it says Skila is the punishment for Israelite, then we bump up for a Bat Kohen to Sreifa. And when it comes to a Nisua, the punishment for an Israelite is Chenek. We'll bump it up one level. Going to Rabbi Shimon, the next level up is Skila. So that's why the Rabbi Lezer comes up with this opinion. He's holding like Rabbi Shimon, but he doesn't go as far as Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't say Rabbi Kohen, Rabbi Shimon, everybody gets, Bat Kohen gets straight for across the board, Arusa and Nisua, but rather, what the Arusa gets bumped up a level to Sreifa, and the Nisua gets bumped up a level to Skila. And that'll be the explanation of this, Braita. So, Ma'akifla Rabbi Chanina, ha, idi vidi, Rabbi Shimon b'Sreifa Kamar. How could you ever explain Rabbi Eliezer this way? Or how could you ever have Rabbi Eliezer explaining Rabbi Shimon this way? Because we have an explicit statement from Rabbi Shimon that both an Arusa and a Suah get Sreifa. So how could you do this? So why don't we ask, or we could simply ask, why not just say that Rabbi Eliezer has an independent opinion? That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. But this is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in Rabbi Shimon. The answer to this question is that you can't do this because either you learn the Gzeira Shava, like Rabbi Shmuel, and we'll see this in a second, and therefore Arusa has a din, not Nisua, or you learn like the Chachamim, that it's all about upgrading, and therefore it's the Nisua who gets upgraded, the Arusa would be a downgrade if we don't hold it, or you hold like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon, there's no reason to differentiate in the Pasuk between Nisua, Arusa and Nisua. Where do you ever come up with such a differentiation that Rabbi Shmuel could have, Rabbi Eliezer could have such opinion? So it can't be that Rabbi Eliezer has this new opinion that differentiates between Arusa and Nisua. We never find such a differentiation in the Pasuk. If we don't find it, he can't have an opinion like this. And therefore, if Rabbi Shimon says, Idi v'idi, according to Rabbi Shimon, is b'sreifa kamar, then Rabbi Eliezer can't have an opinion otherwise. So El Amar Ravino, Rabbi says, Olam kirabonon. No, the Braita is like Rabbanon, v'ipuch, and flip them around. Et avia b'skila, v'et chamia b'sreifa. When it comes to her father, that means that she's an Arusa. I mean, Bershut Aviyah, she gets Skila. That's an Arusa. Arusa gets Skila. Vet Chamiyah, when it comes to her father-in-law, which means Bershut Chamiyah, in the possession of her father-in-law, which means she's an Isua, then she gets Sreifa. And that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Opinion of the Chachamim is a Bat Kohen, who is an Arusa, gets Skila, because that's the highest form of punishment. We don't downgrade her to Sreifa. Whereas by a case of Nisua, where it would be Chenek for a normal case, she gets upgraded to the case of Sreifa. Bahai the Kamar et Aviyah. So then why use Aviha and why use Chamiyah? Why don't you just say Arusa and Nisua or Bishut Aviha Bishut Chamiyah? Why does the Braita use the terms Aviha and Chamiyah if they're going to get mixed up here like we did before? Why would you do this? So when it says Sircha Ba'almanakat, that he took a flow from the Pasuk. So that's what Rashi suggests over here. What is Sircha Ba'almanakat? At Sircha Ba'almanakar, he looked at the pasuk and it says, Et Aviyah hi Michalelet. When it comes to Bat Kohen, it says, Et Aviyah hi Michalelet. So since it says Aviyah Michalelet, we use the term Aviha to describe a case of a Bat Kohen. Even though, truthfully, the case of the pasuk, or the pasuk there, according to Chamim, is a case of Nisua. Nevertheless, since the pasuk uses the word Aviha by the case of Sreifa, therefore, he used the term Aviha here also. Even though it's not a good use of the term, even though it's the opposite of what the Pasuk means, nevertheless, he took the Pasuk of Aviha. Tosfos takes issue with this explanation and says, okay, that's very nice, but that only explains one half of the Braita. It only explains why he used Aviha. What about the fact that he used Chamiyah? How do you explain that? So Tosfos HaNedarim comes along and says, no, what does it mean, sircha nakat? That means that, and the mistake that he made over here is that normally bito, a daughter, meaning that father and daughter, gets sreifa, and on the other hand, a chamia gets a skila, a case of skila. And here you flip them, and you're saying, et avia bis skila, and let chamia bis sreifa. So that's the sircha nakat. He followed the flow of the pasuk from the brayta from the Tanakhama, but by doing so, he actually reversed what is normal. He took made avia into skila, which is normally sreifa, and he made chamia into sreifa, which is normally a case of skila. So he misused the words, misused the terms over here. Again, Rashi thinks that he misused the terms because he grabbed the word avia from the pasuk of bat kohen. But by doing that and using the pasuk of avia, which is a case of nisua, according to Chachamim, and he made that into a case of arusa, that's a mistake that he's making. On the other hand, over here, Tosfos is saying the mistake is simply that the punishment that he's associating with each of them does not match up to the normal punishment over here. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, Amar Rav Halocha, Ki Deshalach Ravin Mishmeid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinina. The Halocha is like Ravin sent Mishmeid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinina. That's the explanation that we gave before, that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinina says that this is the way to explain the Mishnah, that whatever is below Mitat Aviyah and whatever is above Mitat Aviyah, that's what the Braita is speaking about. So he says the Halocha is like that opinion. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hilchot Ala Mashiach. Well, what type of halacha is this? You're telling me halacha for the times of Mashiach? I mean that this isn't relevant today. It's not relevant today because we don't have a Beis Din, we don't have capital punishment, so you're telling me what the halacha is for the Atid Lavo. As Tosfos points out, and Rashi seems to be indicating the same, which is that we have many halachot that are for the Atid Lavo, that are for the future. The fact that there are halachot, that we deal with things that are in the future, that's not a reason not to say halacha. But rather, over here, the issue is simply a question of interpretation. We know what the halacha is. The question is how to interpret this braita properly. All you're dealing with is a lashona braita. So you want to explain the lashona braita better, meaning that how you're trying to explain it, either you explain it according to the way that Rabbi Chanina does it, or you want to explain it according to the way that Rove does it, or you want to do it according to Rabin. When you say halacha, that has no bearing. I mean, we don't, the way the Braisa reads, I mean, Rabbi Lezer's opinion, that's not any nafkamina la halacha. Again, the Mashiach doesn't mean necessarily just latid lavod in the future, but in the future it's going to have no bearing because it's all about explaining the Braita. Explain the Braita, we don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, so what's the difference in latid lavod? And that's what, no matter which way you learn it, you're going to still come out with the same problem, which is that you just explain the Lashon of Braita, but not ending up with any halachic conclusion. So that's the question here of Rav Yosef. So right, so what are you going to say? Anything to do with kodshim, we won't do, right? That's all for the future. So over here, we're going to say the same. We're going to say, just like over there, it may not be practical today, but nevertheless, we are darshaning, or we are doresh, because the we get schar from being doresh, even though it hasn't had practical implications. So it's over here. Even though there's no real practical outcome to the issue, nevertheless, we still will learn it in order that we will get schar, because that's limud Torah. And limud Torah, even though it has no practical implication, still has a value or a schar associated with it. Then, well, how do we understand Rav Yosef's question over here? Hilchos Ala Mashiach. So the Gemara says, Hochi Kamri. There, in his understanding, Rav Yosef's question is like what Tosus and Rashi were suggesting before, that Hilchot Lomoli sugi de shmaito halacha kamar. What are we talking about halacha here? You're saying halacha when all this is about an explanation of the braita. Whether we explain it according to Ravin or we explain it according to Rabbi Chanina, both of them are just explanations of the braita. This is not about a sugi or a halacha. It's not like they have a difference in halacha. They have a difference in explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. On that, you don't say halacha. That's the appropriate term to use over here. You don't use the term halacha in these instances over here. So now the Gemara says, "My Rabbi Shmuel." So now we spoke before on the previous Amud about this Rabbi opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We've bumped into the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Their machlokas already about a bat kohen. That Rabbi Shimon says that a bat kohen gets sreifa both by an arusa nisua. According to the Chachamim, she only gets it by nisua, not arusa. Then Rabbi Shmuel has this opposite opinion of the Chachamim. But where does it come from that he says arusa gets sreifa, but not a nisua? The Tanya, Uvat ish kohen ki teil cheldis note bin ara. The case here of a bat kohen is talking about an ara and an arusa, a katuv medaber. That's what it's speaking about. Ataomer ben Ara v'Arusa. How do you know? Is it really true that the pasuk is talking about an Ara who is Arusa? O enu elo afilo nisua? Or maybe it's even a case where she's a Na'ara, but she's nisua. Tomel omar ish asher yinaf et eshed reyu mot yumat. Hano eif v'hano efet. Hakol ha yubichlal hano eif v'no efet. Everybody's included under that category of no eif no efet of extramarital affairs. Hotzia katavu bat Yisrael b'skila ubat kohen b'sreifa. When it comes to an Arusa, those are the exceptional cases that were taken out or pulled away or teased away from the case of a regular no eif and no efet. So by a bat Yisrael, the arusah is teased away to tell you that she gets skila. By the pat kohen, it's teased away to tell she gets reifa. Just like by the bat Yisrael, the only exceptional case is a case of arusa, not nisua. So too by the bat kohen, when it extracts her from the cases of no eif, no efet, the general problem of extramarital affairs, it's only talking about a case of arusa and not a case of nisua. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that the specific punishment, the unique punishment for a bat kohen is for arusa. Just like by bat Yisrael, there's a separate category, a separate punishment for a Bat Israel who is an Arusa. Gemara continues, it says, Zomameha uboala bichlal. When it came to a Zomameha and Bola, they were included. Vasitim lo kasher zamam lasot l'achiv. So that it says that they were included, or they were already removed from the fact, or they're not included in the same punishment as this Bat Kohen, because they have a pasuk by Idim Zomamim, which is Vasitim lo kasher zamam lasot l'achiv. L'achiv means to his brother. I mean that what the Boel would get, not what the woman would get, the punishment that the woman would get in this case. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Wait, that doesn't make so much sense. Boala, my kasher zamam ika. How are you quoting a pasuk of kasher zamam to explain that the Boala doesn't get this punishment, but the Edim Zomim also don't get the punishment? It can explain why Edim Zomim don't get the punishment of the Bat Kohen, but it can't explain Boala. Ika'ela, this is the way you must read it. Zomameha bichlal mitad Boala. That the Zomameha get the punishment of the Boala, because it says, asitim lo kasher zamam lasod achiv, v'lo lachoto, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's the position of Rabbi Shmuel, that the punishment that is meted out to the Edim Zomamim is not the punishment of the Bat Kohen, but rather of the Boala, the one who had the extramarital affair with her, because it says, Vasitim lo kasher zamam lasod achiv, achiv below la'achoto. So that's the position of Rabbi Shmuel. One interesting note is that we've noted this before, that the Gemara says, how do we know that Zomameha do not get a punishment like the Bat Kohen? We said before, because it says he, right, Sreifa, that she gets Sreifa and not Zomameha. And over here, the Gemara quotes the other limud, which we mentioned previously, which is Kasher Zamam Lasot Le'achiv, that has Achiv Velo Achoto. So why do you need both limudim? So Tosas asked the question, what do we need both limudim? Comes to teach us, wait, if I had he, I would have just said he Velo Bo'ala. That applies to her and not the one who perpetrated the crime with her. But for the Zomamim, we need Kasher Zamam, and so we're going to give them the punishment like she got. So that would, if I just had the word he, I would not have learned he Velo Zomameha. Along comes the word Kasher Zamam Nasod Achiv to teach me, no, they don't get her punishment, they get the punishment of Achiv, of the Boel, and not of her. Ah, so why not just have that pasuk? Because if I just had that pasuk, I would think that's only a case when they testify about both parties. When they testify both about the Bat Kohen and the Boel, in that case, we give them the punishment of the Boel and not the Bat Kohen. But what happens if they solely testify about the Bat Kohen? In that case, we would say, okay, they should get the punishment because Kasher Zamam. There's no other choice. So that comes along, the pasuk of He Velo Zomameh. That comes to teach us, no, that in no circumstances do they get the case, do they get the punishment of the Bat Kohen. So each one of them teaches us a din. The Kasher Zamam Lasod Achim teaches us, period, that there is no Kasher Zamam in this case, meaning that they will never get what the Bat Kohen gets. But we were thought that might have been only case where they can do Kasher Zamam with the Boel. When they can't do Kasher Zamam with the Boel, maybe they should get Kasher Zamam, and that what the He teaches us. He teaches us He Velo Zomameh. So we need both Psukim to teach us both of these Chidushim. Rabbi Akiva Amer, Achat Arusa V'Achat Nusua. When it comes to an Arusa Nusua, Yotzeit L'Sreifa. They both get Sreifa. Yochol afilu pnuya, I would have thought even a pnuya, nemer kana viha, nemer lahala naviha. It says over here, by the case of Bat Kohen that's getting sreifa, it says the term aviha. And also it says by an arusa Bat Yisrael that she gets a, the term aviha is also used over there. So just like over there, malahalan znut im zikat abao, just like over there, there's some relationship with the husband, afkan znut im zikat abao. So over here, have they talking about a case of a relationship with the husband, not a case of pnuya. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel responds to Rabbi Kiva, says, I malahalan nara vihi arusa, afkan nara vihi arusa. If you want to make the gzera shava via via, let's take it to its fullest extent, or take it to its conclusion. If you're bringing Avia from the case of Nar Arusav, a Bat Yisrael, and you're saying that teaches me by Bat Kohen that she also has to be married, then it should also teach you that she has to be a Nara Amurasa, which is exactly the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that it does have to be a Nara Amurasa for her to get that punishment. So Amar Lei Rabbi Akiva, Yishmael Achi, Bat Uvat Ani Doresh. I'm not learning it out from the Gzeirah Shavah. It sounds like here Rabbi Shmuel is the same. I don't learn it out from the Gzeirah Shavah, rather Bat Uvat. I learn it out from the extra Vav by the Pasuk. Ani Doresh. So Amar Lei, he says back to Milchi Pnei Shata Doresh Bat Uvat Notzi Zulis Reifa. Just because you Doresh Bat Uvat, now we're going to all of a sudden take this woman out and burn her and give her Sreifa, which is the more stringent punishment? How do you know that Bat Uvat comes to teach you that a Pnuya is excluded and a Nisua is included in the punishment of Sreifa? Where did you get this from? How do you know that Bat Uvat, how do you know which one it includes and which one it excludes? And if we don't know, they both should go to Kula, because we never give the punishment to Chumra and we don't know. So, im mashmala aviyata nisua. If it's able to bring in the nisua, then aviyata pnuya. If it's telling you that even more, that you have to include everybody, then include everybody. Include even a pnuya. V'im mashmala otziyata pnuya. If you're using batuvat to exclude the pnuya, then otziyata nisua, the nisua should also be excluded. So Rabbi Kiva says, no, you misunderstood me. I didn't say Bat Uvat is my drasha without the Gzeirah Shavah. I have both items. Rabbi Kiva, ahani Gzeirah Shavah, I have the Gzeirah Shavah, limute pnuya. That comes to exclude the case of pnuya. Vahani Bat Uvat, there are both the nisua. And Bat Uvat, the extra vav there, comes to include a case of nisua. So when I said Rabbi Shmuel Savar made the Amarle Bat Uvat, Rabbi Shmuel's Havamina, but Rabbi Akiva said in his Braita was that when he said Bat Uvat, Shmuel Mina Hadar made Gzeirah Shavah, that he left the Gzeirah Shavah entirely. But that's not true of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva's opinion has both the Gzeirah Shavah and the Bat Uvat. So he has the Gzeirah Shavah to teach me no Pnuya, yes Nara and Mirasa. How do I also know a case of Nisua that comes from the inclusion Uvat, the extra Vav over there? Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, learns simply that he doesn't need the Gzeirah Shavah, because we already had before the Limud, that just like Arusa Bat Yisrael is pulled out, so too Arusa Bat Kohen is pulled out, and if you're going to learn the Gzeirah Shavah, learn it fully. And that means the Gzeirah Shavah means an Ara Amurasa, and that's the case that he has. Rabbi Shmuel, Hai Bat Uvat Mai Dorishpe. Okay, so what does Rabbi Shmuel do with this Bat Uvat? I mean, that he has, Rabbi Akiva is using the Drasha, but what does Rabbi Shmuel use the Drasha of Bat Uvat to teach you? Like the father of Shmuel taught us, we see in the Torah that there's a differentiation between Kohanim Tmimim and Kohanim Balimumim. Maybe we should have a similar distinction when it comes to their daughters, that they should also be distinguished. I mean that only a Kohen who's not a Balmum is allowed to do Avodah. He's a Balmum, he's not allowed to do Avodah. So maybe too here by a Bat Kohen. Only a Bat Kohen who is not a Balmum, I mean that she's a Shlema, that she gets a punishment of Sreifa. But if she's a Balat Mum, maybe she should lose or not have the status of Dusha, and therefore she would not get the punishment of Sreifa. Talmud Omer, Bat Uvat. So the Uvat comes to teach me that not only a Shlema, but even a Balat Mum, it gets the punishment of a Bat Kohen. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need that, because it says, Meheim Nakmir Krivim Vayu Kodesh. Now, wait a minute, that there is, yes, you're right, that Balat Mum cannot be Makriv, they cannot do Avodah. But nevertheless, Vihayu Kodesh, they are still Kodesh. Meaning that Balat Mumim, even though they are not allowed to do the Avodah on the Mikdash, they still have Kedushat HaKohen. They're not Mufka from Kedushat HaKohen. So that distinction between Balat Mum and non Balat Mum is only a distinction in ability to do Avodah, but is not a distinction in their status of Kedusha. And so too by Bat Kohen. Why should you differentiate? I mean, true, maybe there is such a distinction between Balat Mum and Shlema, but nevertheless, it has no impact on her Kedusha. And the reason that she's getting punished over here is because she's a Bat Kohen. If she's a Bat Kohen, she still has that Kedusha. Rabbi Shmuel says, "What imi hahi? If it was from this, hava mina, I would have thought hani mili inhu. That's only true by the males. Aval b'bnotehem, no, but the females, that limud doesn't apply of being kodesh no matter what. Kamash v'lon, that even by the females, right? We still say that the kedusha continues, or the kedusha is uniform across balat mum and a shlema." Rabbi Shmuel, hi et avia michemelelet my dorish bay. So now we said that Rabbi Akiva uses it for the Gzer Shava. We said before that, of course, Rabbi Shmuel could use it, but he doesn't need it. It's not necessary for him, the Gzer Shava, because the way he learns out that a Bat Kohen is talking about a case of Arusa is a Meimatzinu, that just like by the Arusa Bat Yisrael, we see that she's the only one pulled out. Mazir Bat Kohen, she's the only one accepted from the case of no Eif and no Efet. So he has that limud. What does he do with at Avia Mihir Mechalot? What does he do with that extra Lashon? So Dorish Bey, he needs it at Tanya, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer. He needs it for the Brisa where Rabbi Meir explains. What does it mean, Aviyahi Mechalot, that she profanes her father? Until this point in time, he was given a special status of Kodesh. He gets demoted and they treat him like a chulin now. Kavod, before if he was a man of stature, right? They downgrade him, that they now they don't treat him with that same level of respect anymore. Omrim, they say about him, Arur Shizu Yalat. They say, cursed be this one who gave birth to such a daughter. Aruzu Shigidel. Right? Cursed be the one who brought up such a daughter. Arur Shiyatza Zumi Chalatzav. Right? Could be cursed the one that came out of, this came out from his loins, meaning that he produced such a daughter. So we say that we blame the father. The father has to take responsibility for what the brother, for what the daughter did. And so that's what we say, Avia Mei Mechalot, he is punished along with her. She gets the punishment to meet that Beis Din, but he gets a demotion because she's a product of his house. It's similar to the Gemara that we know at the end of Sukkah, where we say the Gemara there talks about the fact that one Beit Av was punished for the actions of a single woman in the Beit Av of the Kohanim. Because we say that it didn't come from nowhere. The fact that she knew something, right, Girsu de Yanoka, that which the children speak comes from the household. And she wouldn't have said something like that, the Gemara in Sukkah says, unless she had learned it from her father or she knew it from her family somehow. And so too over here, we say the same thing, that this woman's actions are reflective of something that she got from the house. And therefore, we punish the father, or we demote the father because of the actions of the daughter. Amar Rav Ashi, Kaman Karinan. Today, when we call people Rishaya Bar Rishaya, we say, you're a Rasha, you're an evil person, the son of an evil person, Afilu Rishaya Bar Tzadikaya, even though this person really is a Rasha, the son of a Tzadik, why do we call them Rasha, the son of a Rasha? Come on, who's it like? Haitana, like Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says that the actions of the children, the actions of those that are that come forth from these individuals, the teaching of these individuals, reflect upon them. And therefore, even though they're Tzadikim and the children are Rishayim, the children's Rishu'ut should be reflected or as a derivative of the parents, and therefore it's going to be Risha Bar Risha, even though they're really Tzadikim. The same thing here by the Bat Kohen. Even though she's the one who acted improperly, she's the one who went off, we still say that the father is responsible in some way, and therefore he's also demoted. So now the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on the Perek, ended Zu Mitzvata Niskalim, which seems to be a non sequitur. It's out of the middle of nowhere. It says Zu Mitzvata Niskalim. Maitano, Diktani Zu Mitzvata Niskalim. What did the Mishnah say that all of a sudden out of nowhere it says Zu Mitzvata Niskalim? Shum the Tana, because it says Nigmaradin, Motzino told the Soklo, Beit Eskela Hayag. That's from the previous parak. Previous parak said, okay, once there's a Gemar Din, here we take him out to execute him, and then we explain the execution. That the Mishnayot went through the execution based on Skila. Why? Because Skila, according to Rabban, is the most Chomer punishment. So when they were given an example of what a normal case looks like, and when they reached the point of Gemar Din and then execution, they laid it out based on Skila. So I did the Kabbai the Midna. Now the next Mishnah, which we're about to do, is going to say Mitzvat HaNisrafim, that it's going to talk about now, about Sreifa'a, Tananami Zumitzvat Niskalim. Therefore, it brought a conclusion to what was before and says that was about skila. Now we're going to talk about the sreifa. And so that's what the word Zu Mitzvata Niskalim is, just to bring a conclusion to the previous parak and say that was about skila. Now we're about to talk about sreifa. Okay, we'll stop over here.